I appreciate that. Thankful tonight to be here. It is good to see Jared and Ida able to be with us tonight. Thankful for them able to come be a part of the service. And been a while since they've been able to come. But I'm thankful for you all being here in the service tonight. If you have your Bibles, I ask you to turn to the second psalm. The second psalm. I am going to look at it maybe a little odd. I wanna to begin here the psalmist ends. I want to look at the last phrase in the last verse. In the first 12, the last phrase, the psalmist is blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. I want to think tonight if the Lord will help me for just a little bit on this thought of the blessedness of trusting. The blessedness of trusting. Hell, I'm gonna try to look at the psalm, but I wanted to look starting here. That word that he uses, blessed, is the word that means true blessing or true happiness that comes in. There are a lot of people that seem to have a measure of what they think is happiness. If their outward circumstances are good, then they consider themselves happy. But the psalmist is describing a real happiness that's within. Something that comes, he says, to those that put their trust in the Lord. That word trust, it means to put your confidence in or to take refuge in, to flee to for protection from all that life puts on you. Somebody says that it has the picture of someone sitting down under the shade of a tree, or finding rest when you're worn out or weary. I'll be honest with you tonight. I think we're all weary today. I think we're weary from what we see in Washington. I think we're weary from what we hear on the evening news. I think we're weary from the stress of life. I think we're weary from the sickness and the sorrows that we're facing in life. I think we're weary from the troubles and trials that weigh on us in life. I think we're weary from fighting the burdens that we carry and the battles that we're fighting. I think that we're weary from all that we're dealing with. And the psalmist is telling us that there is a blessing that comes to those that find rest. And when they find their rest and refuge in the Lord. So I'm interested in that rest and refuge that the psalmist is talking about. According to Acts chapter 4 and verse 25, it tells us that David is the author of this particular psalm. Now, I don't know what it was that brought about David writing this, but it tells us there that David was the author of the psalm. But it tells us some things that he had on his heart. So I want us to look at what David said to us that he had on his heart in the psalm. First of all, this psalm tells us that we live in a world that is raging. Look at verses 1-3. He begins by asking the question, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? He begins with the word why. Why is a word that crosses our minds quite a bit. We ask that word why quite often. We ask why do the godly suffer so much? We ask why do the innocent have to deal with cancer? We ask why do children, innocent babies, why are they aborted? We ask why do children get cancer and suffer and die? We ask, why do godly people suffer so much in this world? Why do the godly people that live Christian lives, why do they often have so much heartache and sorrow? We often ask, why, God, do you allow so much violence and wickedness in this world? We often ask, God, why don't you just stop some of this evil in our world? So there are so many why questions in our minds. And it was even for the psalmist. He says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? It is picturing a wicked and foul people raging. He asked, why is there so much ungodliness raging in our world? That word rage is a Hebrew word found only in this word, in this verse in the Old Testament. You don't find it anywhere else in the Old Testament. And it speaks of the uproar and the plotting of the wicked against righteousness in the righteous. It is the idea of the ungodly raging against godliness, and the idea of the righteous people in this world. Can I tell you tonight, and I think you know it, that you and I are in the minority in this world. This world hates godliness. This world hates everything that is of God and right. We look in our society and it is going farther and farther against God. All we are seeing right now in the first few days of President Biden going into office, there was a push in the House for the Equality Act to get signed legislation of getting equal rights everywhere for the gay and the homosexual agenda. If this legislation gets all they want, it will affect churches and religious institutions. I have emailed our senators for North Carolina asking them to oppose this legislation. I got an email in response today from Tom Tillis. He talked about supporting equal rights for the gay and lesbian community, but at the same time owning to protect the rights for the religious community. But in the entire email, he never once said he would oppose the legislation. That troubles my heart. Troubles my heart. I want to tell you, we are living in troubling days. Troubling days. This world is raging against God. Why? What is their problem? Look at verse 3. It says, here is their response. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Their response to God is they want freedom from the restraints of God. That is what the problem of sin has been from the beginning. Freedom from the restraints of God's word and God's restrictions and God's guidelines. They want freedom from what God says. That's the whole problem of this anti-God society. They don't want to go God's way. They don't want to go by God's guidelines. And if they get their way, the time may come that I won't be able to say what I said just a while ago. I'll be restricted. If that can't be said, I want to tell you, this world is raging against God. We live in a world that is raging. But secondly, this psalm tells us that there is a God who is watching. Notice verse 4 through 9. It says in verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have him in derision. You say, what is God doing about all of this that is happening in the world? What is God thinking about all of this? What is God doing about all of this? First of all, he is sitting calmly on his throne. It says, he that sitteth in the heavens. God is unshaken by all they do. God is just sitting calmly on his throne. All that this world is doing doesn't faze him one bit. They can shake their fist in the face of God. And he just sits calmly in control and watches it because he knows the outcome. He knows what is going to happen in the end. God isn't shaken by all of this at all. God isn't wringing his hands and saying, what am I going to do now? God isn't sweating and God isn't worried, but God is calmly sitting on the throne. But secondly, it says in verse 4 that he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. God is saying it is ridiculous, all they do. It is ridiculous. They can try to legislate him and his authority out of their lives, but they only do it in vain. It said in verse 1, the people imagine a vain thing. Everything they imagine is only a vain thing. That they're trying to do isn't going to accomplish anything. God laughs at their attempts to mock him and to rule him, because he right now is patient, but one day his patience will end and he will judge this world in righteousness. God will judge them. You see, Satan has blinded them. Satan has fooled them all. Satan has convinced them that there is no God, or that if there is a God, that he is impotent to help them or interfere in their lives or doesn't care, then God will not interfere with them. But one day, God will deal with their sins. It says in 1 John, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. There's going to come a day that God will say enough is enough, and he will judge this world. But then there is, in closing, there is a word for the wise. He gets down in verse 10. He says, be wise now therefore, O ye kings, be instructed ye judges of the earth. First of all, he says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. He says, here is wisdom. Live for him and honor him with the respect he truly deserves. Submit to him with all our hearts, realizing that he doesn't owe us anything, but we owe him everything. That's wisdom. to serve him with fear. That means with honor and respect. That we ought to serve him and respect him, fear him, show him that awe and respect that he deserves. Boy, you don't see that in our day. People take his name and feigned without any thought. People thumb their nose up to God without any respect for him. But we ought to serve him with fear. But then he says in verse 12, something kindly unusual for us, but he says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. He said, kiss the Son. That is, embrace him. Show him you love him. The idea in ancient times was the idea of showing loyalty and honor, affection and worship. When they saw someone they honored and loved, to kiss them was to embrace them with affection and worship and love. That is what he's saying we ought to do. Kiss the Son. Show him you love him. Show him that he means everything to you. Paul, I tell you, that's wisdom today. He means everything to me. The older I get in life, the farther down the road I get, the more he means to me. The more he means to me. The older I get, the less this world appeals. And the more the next world appeals to me. The farther down the road I get, the less attached I am to the things down here, possessions and things in this world. And the more I get attached to him, kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. Embrace him. When's the last time that you just bowed before him and spiritually embraced him to say, I love you. I love you. Or for who you are, for what you mean to me, just kiss the Son. And that's where David ends, where I began. And he said, trust him. Trust him. Take him a refuge. Take your shelter in him. From the storms that rage, from the battles of life, from the burdens that press on you. When life makes you weary, when the world gets scary, when you don't know what's ahead, trust Him.
Amen.
Because He's your refuge. And He's your strength. The blessedness of trust in the Lord. Man, how that helped my heart. I wanted to use it just a while back. And I mentioned that Wednesday night that I was going to use it, and the Lord led me to a different psalm that night. But I couldn't get away from it. The blessedness of trust in the Lord. Just some things on my heart that I had to share with you. Hope that will help you. Hope that blessed you. If it did, take it with you. Take it home. And it be a strength and a help to your heart. I appreciate you being here tonight.